Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here on this smoky morning. We now are the smoke-filled coast, not the sunshine coast, I think is where we are at. But that's okay. It's good to see you all here today. We are going to continue this morning in our series on the wisdom of Proverbs, as we've been doing that now for a couple months. We're going to go through this till the end of August, and then Pastor Joel will be starting a new series in September, so he'll be back next week, I believe, and continue on with it. But we're going to continue on with that. But first of all, and I don't know if Pastor Joel has done this or not, but I came across it and I couldn't resist. You know, a proverb is not necessarily biblical. A proverb simply means a wise saying. That's what the word itself means. Within the word of God, we have God's wise sayings, which are distinctly different. But there's all kinds of wise sayings that we hear and that we know of ourselves. You know, it's something that we hear often, and it's, you know, he who lives in a glass house should get dressed in the basement. That kind of thing. You know, it's that kind of thing that there are. And there are some of those that we know. And the unfortunate part is we probably know some of these other ones better than we know the Proverbs from the Bible. Well, a teacher down in one of the schools in the States decided to give some of these, first half of these Proverbs to some of the kids in her class, in her elementary school class. And she asked the students to finish off the last portion of the proverb. So I'm going to say the first part of the proverb. I want you to give what you know that last part to be, and then I'm going to tell you what the kids said, okay? All right? Better to be safe than... No. Better to be safe than to punch a seventh grader. Strike while the bug is close. It's always darkest before... No. Before daylight savings time. Never underestimate the power of... Oh! What was that? It's never underestimate the power of a woman, right? I'm surprised you ladies don't know that one. You Julie got it. What the kid said, never underestimate the power of termites. Don't bite the hand that... No. That looks dirty. You can't teach an old dog old math. This one, where there's smoke, there's pollution. Come on, you know that right now, right here, right? A penny saved is... No, a penny saved is not much. Two's company, three's the musketeers. No one is so blind as those who will not see. Right? That's the kids, there's none so blind as Stevie Wonder. I love that one myself. Children should be seen and not... No. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. You only get out of something what you see in the picture on the box. Wisdom from kids along the way. But you knew a number of those other ones, except you ladies. I was so disappointed in you. Never underestimate the power of a woman. We hear and we see those proverbs, those man-made words of wisdom, and we hear them and we see them and we are comfortable with them. The difference is that when we go to the Proverbs within the Bible, we're getting words of wisdom, not man-made words. These don't come from somebody who had a nice thought or an inspirational set of ideas for you that he wants to share. It's not someone who likes to put together some alliteration or a rhyme or anything like that. What we have within this book right here is we have wisdom from the Creator of everything, from Almighty God. From the one who created the stars that are farthest away from you to the most intricate little atom and chromosome inside of you. He has created absolutely everything around you. He, not only that, he is an expert on everything. Isn't that cool? Our God is an expert on everything. There is nothing that God's not an expert on. He understands it all. He knows it all. He has got all the right words to teach us and to help us to deal with everything that we face. And so we need to understand what it says. Problem with most of us is that we sort of know it up here, but we haven't got it here. We haven't really got a hold of what that word is. And so this morning, as we look at Proverbs, and in the series as we look through Proverbs, I encourage you to understand that when God speaks to us through his word, it's not just, you know, a neat little saying, okay? It's not just like, it's not just a cute little thing to say or when it strikes your mind or just a little bit of encouragement to give somebody else. These are words from the expert. These are words from Almighty God that he speaks to you and to me and to everyone that this is how we are to live our lives and this is how we can have a relationship with him and with the people around us that will grow. And so we need to listen to what he says. And that's really important because this morning I want to talk about our words. I want to talk about the importance of our words. Because as we go through the book of Proverbs, there are several themes within the book. There it talks about wisdom itself. It talks about sexual purity. It talks about reaching out and to others. It talks about humility. And one of the themes that recurs again and again and again and again is the one about our tongue, about our mouth, about what we say. And that's about as personal as it can get in most cases. Because that talk is a revelation of who you are. What you say declares who you are to everything and to everyone around you. So as we look at the Word of God about our words, we want to hear what he truly wants to teach us. So, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 is where we're going to start. It'll be up here. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. It's not like you're going to stab somebody. That's not the death it's talking about. But I'm sure we've all seen people cut to pieces with someone else's tongue, right? Maybe some of us have done it. Where we hear and we all of a sudden the words just start going and there's just and just bang, 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 and cut and slice and cut and slice and cut and slice. What's really unfortunate is that within families, because we know each other so well, we know where the buttons are that can be pushed, and we know where the sore points are, is that we can hurt somebody within our family with one word. You can look at them and say one word, and you can drive a sword into their heart. You can destroy a wonderful evening with one word and do it to them. The Bible teaches us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Not only can you destroy, but you can also build up. There is importance and power in what you say to people around you. First of all, within your family, and then to those around you as well. Isn't it sad that we are often more polite to strangers than we are to family members? Is it true? Two of you think it's true. That's good. But it is true, isn't it? We are often more polite and more, in many cases, more forgiving to people we don't know than we are to family members. The truth of God's word is that we are to be right in how we speak to everyone around us. We're going to go back into chapter 10 of Proverbs. We're going to pick up some verses from there. We want to see them and look at some of the things that it has to say because these are things that are powerful and right that we need to know. Because the tongue is such a powerful thing in our lives and how we need to overcome it. Jesus himself said in Matthew 15, he's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, how dare you tell people they can eat what they want? Don't you know we have to eat what is right? And Jesus said, no, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean, it's what comes out of him. It's not talking about waste, it's talking about what comes out of your mouth. It's what comes out of you. That can make you unclean. It can destroy you. In James, it tells us that the tongue is the unruly member of our bodies. It's the one that will get you into the most trouble. And if you don't believe that, just ask your spouse. They will confirm for you that that is what has happened. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. Let's go there, please. Proverbs 10. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Now, I need to just talk about the righteous here for a moment. When we hear the word righteous, the initial reaction often is perfect. The mouth of the perfect. And we look at the scripture and the word righteous or the term righteous man, and as Pastor Joel has said, it's not just man, it's man or woman, the righteous person. The righteous, we look at that and we go, oh, well, I'm not righteous, so that really doesn't apply to me because I'm not perfect. Well, righteous is not mean perfect. Isn't that a relief? Doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. You're not perfect. In fact, you go beyond perfect. You guys, you need to go back to a slide in Galatians if you've got that one for me. Because Galatians tells us what it is here. Know that a person is not justified. Now, justification is another biblical term. We have justification and righteousness. Justification is the process by which you become righteous. Okay, you got that? And it's all done by God. When we go to God and we ask Christ to forgive us of our sins, he justifies us and he makes us righteous. So that if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ, you've asked him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, hey, good news, he's forgiven you of your sins. It's done. It's gone. It's over. You don't have to worry about that anymore. He comes along and says, now, I look down at you, and I am going to make you, I'm going to justify you before me. Even though you are imperfect, even though you are not what you could be or should be, even though you make the mistakes that you make, yeah, I'm going to take you from where you are, and I'm going to say, because of what you've done in asking me for forgiveness and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, I will justify you before me, God says, and now you will be declared as righteous. So you are righteous. In Galatians here it says, know that a person is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one is justified. No one can be made right by simply doing the right things. So, this morning, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and asked him to be the Lord of your life, Jesus Christ has justified you and you are righteous. Look at somebody and say, I'm righteous. Yeah. Scared, huh? Too Canadian, I know. I'm righteous. You're righteous. When God looks down upon us, he doesn't say, oh, I know what you did last night. Oh, I know what you thought. Oh, I know. He said, ah, they're righteous. He knows we're not perfect, but before him we are righteous. So when we go into Proverbs and we see when it talks about a righteous person or the righteous are, it's us. It's us. It's you and me who've committed our lives to Jesus Christ. We are righteous before God. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what God has looked down upon us and said, you were this. I've justified you. You are now righteous. And that process has taken place. Let's go ahead, please, to Proverbs chapter 10 again. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The righteous have a wisdom to speak as a fountain of life. We live in a time in our world right now where to speak life and affirmation, to speak positively, is often in many situations looked down upon. All around us there is this mindset that appears to be growing, which is attack, 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 attack. And it's destructive. It's not biblical. it is wrong, especially for us as Christians, to be in attack mode. We are not to be in attack mode. We are to be in the mode where we are producing and speaking things that will give life in the middle of the attacks, in the middle of the darkness that's going on around us. We are to be the ones that are declaring life, that are declaring hope, that are declaring direction, that are declaring peace, that are declaring strength, that are declaring truth in the midst of it. And not attack, 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 attack. A fountain. It says we are to be a fountain of life. A fountain, it's got to spring out of us. It's got to spring out of you. You know, when you get up in the morning and you go to do your thing at work and or around the house or neighbors or whatever it is you do, where's your mind? Is it, oh no, this, oh no, that, oh no, this, oh no, that? And that's so easy to get there, and I'm not mocking that because, trust me, I've been there and I regularly. That's something that we all face, is the oh no upon us, the weight of the situations upon us, the weight of our work, the weight of our family and problems that are there, the weight of our financial situation. Those are upon us. I'm not minimizing that at all. But what I am saying is that when we are to get up, we are to see that God, who is the creator of all and the hope of all, is my God. He is my God this morning. He is my God in this situation. He's not losing sleep over my problems because he knows the answers to my problems. And if I will trust him with my problems, I will be able to get sleep with my problems. He is my God. And so from him I will speak words of life. I will speak words of encouragement. I will speak words of hope. I will speak words of joy. And you gotta choose to do it. You have to choose to do it. If you wait until you feel like doing it, you're not going to do it. It's not about feelings. It's about saying, I will praise the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will give him praise. All that is within me, I will praise the Lord. I will. Oh, I don't feel like it. Don't care. Get over it. Do it. I will. And let that fountain come out of you, because out of us is hope. Out of you, if you speak encouragement, somebody's going through a hard day at work and they've just done something to make your job harder. You want to give them a piece of your mind. Let them know what you think, whether they've done has made your job harder. Want to know what I encourage you to do? Especially if they know they've made it harder. Go over and talk to them and just tell them, I appreciate you. I appreciate you trying. I appreciate your help. Let's work together, see if we can make it right. Give hope. Don't give condemnation. Give hope. Let that fountain of life come from you. When you're talking politics, I don't care what your political bend is. I don't care which party you support in Canada or in the United States or anything else. I don't care. This applies. This applies. You're very quiet. This applies. Words of encouragement and hope, and not attack, attack, attack. Second thing he tells us and he brings to our attention through here is in verse 13 and 14. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of the one who has no sense. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Wise is found in the lips of the discerning. Wisdom is found there. You got to know that God's going to give you some discernment. We've gone through the whole series about spiritual gifts, and there was a spiritual gift of discernment. That doesn't mean if it's not your spiritual gift, you don't have any. when God comes to rule in your life and the power of God is in your life, he gives you discernment. He gives you the ability to understand some things differently than others. And it has to be that way because the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. And the Holy Spirit is working within you. So the Holy Spirit is in there. He's going, hey, that's a good thing, or hey, that's a not a good thing, or you need to understand this. He's speaking inside of you. And we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us. It is a reality. It is the power of God within us that God speaks to us inside and wants us to respond to it in the outside. And there's discernment that will come from God in how to deal with things. He will give you insight in how to deal with things. And it will keep you from making stupid mistakes. I hate making stupid mistakes. It's not fun. Because then you got to go back and you got to say, I was stupid, and then fix it. Unfortunately, most of us go back and say, well, it's not my fault, but I'll fix it anyway. Somebody else's fault. He gives you discernment. The wise store up knowledge. The wise understand how important it is to remember what God has done. If I was to ask you, and if you to remember back in your go back in your own life and in your own mind, where God did something powerful for you. That thing where God spoke to you or did something so unique and so powerful, you knew it was God. You knew it was God working. And he, at that point in time, you were just sort of overwhelmed and awestruck by him. Now, most of us have had that kind of experience. And if you haven't, I encourage you just to continue to seek God for what you're looking for. And you will have one of those moments, at least one. But if I ask you to go back and remember that at that time, that is what God has given to you. Because remember that everything that God gives to us is not just for us. It comes into us so that we can share it out with somebody else. And the time will come where what God has taught you, you need to teach someone else. Where God has placed truth into your life, you need to pass that truth on to somebody else. Because it never goes ka-chunk and stays with me. When God gives it to us, it goes whoosh, it's got to go that way as well. It's got to come in. We're the conduit. We're not the rain barrel. Although some of us may look like a rain barrel. Sorry about that. But we're the conduit where God comes in and he flows through us. And so if he does something for you, it's not for you to carry around and say, look what I got. Look what God did. Hey, this is just for me. That's for me. That's for me. Ha-ha, you can't have it. It's mine. It's not about that. It's about God working through us. So we store up knowledge inside of us to help other people. And when the opportunity comes, we pour it into the other people. You don't have to pray forever about that. Someone, you come to church, you're talking to somebody, and they're going through something just like you went through, and they're struggling with the answers. And you decide, ooh, I wonder if I should talk to them. Tell you what, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray and fast for 3 weeks. And if that person phones me on Thursday night at 7:05, exactly, then I will know, God, that it's you. No, you don't need to do that. God's put it in you. He's put it in you to give it out. No, come on, you got to understand this. It's bigger than that. He's put it in you to give it out. You really got to get a hold of that. You really got to understand that. You really got to make that real in your life. Whatever God has put into you is so that you can pass it on out again. That's what makes the difference in our lives. It flows through us, and it will help those who are willing to hear and need to hear with what God has for us. Number three here, the righteous have the wisdom to know when not to speak. Do not nudge your spouse. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. If someone's caught doing something wrong, you all know how they get verbal diarrhea. Yak, 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 yak. And they're trying to explain out why and how and how. No, you're not going to change sin by a lot of words. It's not going to happen that way. But the prudent know when to hold their tongues. And you know, once you put words out there, you can't get them back. It's kind of like texting. I've got a Samsung. Some of you got an Apple. I got a Samsung. on my Samsung phone, my Android phone, I can write words by swiping my finger over top of the screen on the letters. So if I'm going to type the, I start on T, go to H, and then back to E, my finger never leaves the screen. Sometimes it actually gets it right. Sometimes there's a little thing in here called autocorrect. And I don't know if you've ever sent out an email message that has been auto-corrected when you didn't know it. But it happens. I was texting my daughter once, and I texted her, and she was moving, and I was texting, and as I'm texting through, and I'm swiping through, and getting emails, and I'm just about to push the send button, and it auto-corrected a word, one word, right in there. A word that I didn't even know was in my phone, a word that I can't even tell you this morning. But I'm going, no, as my thumb hits the send button. And immediately there's all these thoughts going through my mind like, no, 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 no. And then I started condemning her phone. Lord, in the name of Jesus, strike her phone right now. Make it not work. Take it away from her. I command that in the name of Jesus. She can't receive this text. No, 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 no. And I'm going, oh. And in the meantime, as I'm in this panic mode because of what I'd sent her, she texts me back. She goes, ha, 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 Dad, did you really say that? And I said, no! And so she'd give me a hard time, but what I didn't know is that she also then told my mother what I had texted her. Apparently, my mother laughed so hard they thought they were going to have to take her to the hospital. But our words that we say are just like that. Once you put them out there, you can't go and get them back again. You can say, I'm sorry, I said that, but it never changes the memory of what you said. It doesn't change them. It's there. It's gone. It's out there. If you take the filter off, you're in real trouble. And you're going to start saying things that you don't need to say. That's why Scripture in several places says it is far better to be silent than to speak many words. Just be quiet. It's better to be, this is not a biblical one, but it applies. It's better to be quiet and have people think you a fool than to speak and to erase all doubt. We need to know and be quiet. One of the things that I've had trouble learning and still try to learn is that, this is for husbands now, and this is not across the board, this is in general. When your wife comes to you with problems, she does not always want your solutions. Right? Ladies, some of you are nodding. She does not always want your solutions. She wants you to just listen and go, mm-hmm. What do? Oh, I'll tell you how to fix that. First of all, we're going to go sit down with them. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to get this done. And then we'll have a meeting and we'll get this all done. Okay, and I'll take care of it right now. You get the phone and make the phone call. I'll go get the hammer and we'll go meet them. We'll get it all together. It'll be just fine. She just wants you to go, mm-hmm. Right? There are times we need to know to be quiet. There are times when we need to know in situations when we're with other people and they're getting all wrapped up and they're being all negative and they're attacking things or they're going on and there's part of you inside that just really wants to get involved in it and just wants to give your 2 cents worth in there. But you know it's not the right thing to say. You know it's not appropriate for you to say. You know that it's not building up, it's tearing down. That's when you need to know to be quiet. And let the quietness be there as your strength. We need to know to be quiet. Next one is nourish, righteous speak things of value and nourishment to others. Get the next one up. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. When we speak as righteous people who have God's wisdom in us, and we are allowing God's wisdom to flow through us, that will actually help other people, even non-Christians, to grow and to grow closer to an understanding of who God is. They will see something different in you. I encourage you and challenge you to decide to be different from your non-Christian friends. I encourage you to do that in how you speak, in how you act, in what you prioritize. And so that they know it, not because you're preaching to them, but because you're living it. And they see it in you. They need to see an example of Jesus Christ in your life. They need to see his love. They need to see his compassion. They need to see his care, his mercy, and his forgiveness in your life. Does that mean we become doormats? Absolutely not. We are not to become doormats, but we are to allow Christ to shine and work through us. We are to have our vision and our goals, and we are to work towards those. We are running a race that we must complete. So therefore, there are things that we must do, and we must accomplish, and we must get to, and it must happen. We are to do all of those things scripturally. But in the process of all of that, they need to see that we're doing it differently than the guy who's being cutthroat and hurting other people down the road. That other neighbors are gossiping behind the back of this over neighbor over here. Let me tell you something. If you're joining in with gossip with your friends about somebody else, when you're not there, they're gossiping about you. I guarantee it. It's a guarantee. Oh, my friends would never do it. Yes, they would. They've proven it by gossiping with you about the others. And when you're not there, they're going to be gossiping about you. So if you don't want them to gossip about you, don't you gossip with them about anybody else. Fools die for lack of sense. People do silly things, stupid things, because their way of looking at things is so wrong and so destructive. Last one we want to look at. The righteous speak wisdom and see its fruit, which is favor. We haven't talked a lot about the favor of God here, but it's something that is very clear within Scripture, where God teaches us that he has favor for his people. He shows favor to us. Many of you have seen it, and whether you've recognized it or not, I don't know, but to get that job that you were up for, that there were so many others that may have been more qualified for, and you get the job, that's favor. That's favor. For you, for something to unfold for you in the way God has for you, in a way that you didn't see it and couldn't see it happening, but all of a sudden it's come together, and it's something that gives you the peace and joy and strength that you need in your life, that's favor. It's favor. God will work to bring favor for you and on you. And wisdom allows us to live in the favor of God. Because wisdom, as we talked last time I spoke, wisdom tells us what to do while we are waiting for the answer as we're moving towards it. And so when the wisdom of God, as we are living and working in the wisdom of God, being obedient to what he has, being obedient to what he says, he's giving us instruction by his wisdom to how to live that's moving us closer to that answer of favor in our lives. He's doing that for you. He wants to do that for you. His hand is to do that for you. What we have to do sometimes is to let go and let God guide you. Lord, it's not my solution, it's your solution. Lord, it's not my way. God, it's not my way, it's your way. It's got to be your way in which we take this through and understand what God has for us. From the mouth of the righteous comes fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only want what is perverse. By perverse is not necessarily meaning perverted there. It's meaning that which is opposing and contrary to God, that which is self-seeking and self-satisfying, and which is focused on their own usually physical needs. But God gives to us favor. And he gives us wisdom to know how to get to the place of favor. Our tongues are this mighty weapon that can kill or can build up. Throughout Proverbs, we just touched on a very few verses. If you were, it'll go into your electronic concordance, type in the word mouth or tongue for the book of Proverbs, you would get dozens of verses there about it, about how we are to control what we speak, be careful what we say, be careful how we talk. Make sure we understand the priority of what we are to say and what we are to do. Understand those things very clearly, because in that, that is how we will get to be what God wants us to be. Because we are the righteous of God. We are. And as being the righteous of God, God wants to work through us to declare that righteousness around us. He wants to use you to get there. He wants to use you and me to be those people that are righteous before him, that declare his love and his care to people around us, particularly in a world that is so negative and so destructive and so attacking. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray together. We're going to pray, then we're going to have communion together. And after communion, we're going to have Wayne and Carol come up, and we're going to bring them up. We're going to, those that wish to pray with them before they go can do so as well. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you give to us instruction in your word that's there to help us. It's not simply a good idea. It is there as important teaching for us to have. We need you, Lord. We need your hand on our lives. We need you to keep us from saying things that are destructive and tearing down and are negative. Lord, we also need you to cause us to speak what is true, what is right, what is uplifting. Lord, we also really need to know when just to be quiet and let you do what you need to do in the situation. Father, as we examine ourselves this morning before communion, I pray that you reveal to each one of us now those things and those ways that we have spoken, particularly today, the ways that we've spoken over the last while that have not fallen into your purpose or plan for us as your righteous children. And Lord, you're not condemning us, but Lord, you're correcting and helping us. Because when we recognize those things and we seek your forgiveness and we make the changes that there are needed, Lord, we grow in you and you're more able to do more through us. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you want to use us. Us, the imperfect people that we are, you want to use us. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that you speak to each one of us now, that you cause those things to be revealed within us so that we can understand your plan, your purpose, and your direction for us, that we may shine your light in this world and to be your people. And Lord, now as we go to this time of communion, I ask, Father, that you refresh us with the bread that represents your body, the juice that represents your blood. And the Lord, that this will be a time where we are drawn back close to you, particularly in ways where we may have felt distant in this last while. Lord, this is not just a ritual of the church. It's not just something that we do. This is real, about you being real for us and in us and in our lives. So bless us as we prepare for that today. Cause us to become stronger in you. We thank you and praise you for it, Lord, in your name. In your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Would the communion servers come on up, please? We're going to invite you to come in just a moment and to start receiving communion. And as you do, we invite you to come down and to take a glass of the juice and a piece of the crackers, the bread, and representing the bread and wine, the body of Christ. Take the cracker here at the front as you're receiving it. Go back to your seat with the juice, and we'll take that together in just a moment. But would you come? Come and receive the communion today. What we call communion is in reality a New Testament practice of something that was established in the Old Testament. It's covenant. It's all about covenant. And Jesus' body and his blood represent that which was sacrificed so the relationship could be given between God and us. It's God made that. God cut that covenant with us through the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of his body. What we often don't realize, though, as is also just as significant, is that when we come and we take the bread, we take the wine, which represents, or the juice, which represents his blood, that's a symbol of us accepting that covenant into our lives. We don't eat it and drink it because it's tradition. We don't eat it and drink it just because it symbolizes Jesus' body and blood. It's a symbol, his body and blood symbolize what he has done for us. And we are taking the cracker, we're taking the wine, the juice, and we're saying, Lord, I'm a part. I'm committing myself in this covenant as well. It's not, the beautiful thing about God is that he says, I've given this to you. Now, I want to use you with it. I want to make your life different. I want to help you through everything that you face. And if you will take and enter into this covenant and recognize all that I have for you, then I can make your life different than it's ever been before and help you in ways you never even thought of. That's what God does. So as we partake of this communion this morning, we are partaking of a representation of that covenant that God has given to us. The scripture says that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you." It's not just broken so you could see it broken. It's not just broken for you to be able to have the forgiveness of sins. It's broken so that you can have all of that, but you can have more. You can understand now the relationship there is between God and you. It's about the relationship that God has for you. It's not just your get-out-of-hell-free card. It's about the relationship. So as we ate of that cracker, we ate of the part that represents the body of Christ. But now we have the juice, which represents his blood. The blood is the forgiveness of, represents the forgiveness of sins. The blood represents the cleansing that God does in our lives. The blood is a powerful, powerful statement about who Christ is, who God is, and what Christ has done for us. Powerful statement. This represents the things that you're dealing with now where you need, feel you need forgiveness, you need cleansing, you need to be set free, you need chains broken, you need to be able to forgive, you need to feel forgiven, you need life, the cleansing of Jesus Christ. He has it for you. This represents what he has for you and what he wants to do in your life. After we're done here this morning, we're going to give an opportunity. There'll be prayer over here for those of you who want prayer. We're going to meet with Wayne and Carol over here. We're going to pray with them. If anyone would like to join with them in prayer, we will do it over here. But what Christ is doing in your life, if you need Christ to work in your life, come over here with Peter and Brennan. Come over here and let them pray with you and for you. Let God give to you the strength that you need, the peace and power you need in your life. Because after the same manner, Jesus took the cup saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." The new covenant for you. Let us drink together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you love us, that you want to work in us, that, Lord, you have paid the price to set us free from all the things that we carry around and burden us down. You can set us free. So I declare freedom here in this place in the name of Jesus. That in our lives we will be free. We'll be free from a tongue that has ensnared us. We'll be free from a lifestyle choice that has ensnared us. We'll be free from, Lord, those things that have habits that we've built up into our lives that have ensnared us. We'll be free from the lies of the enemy that continually try to trap us. We will be free in the name of Jesus. And that your grace and peace and power will be real in us now. Let us go out of this place with your joy. Let us leave here and encourage one another with love and grace now and peace. And let your hand be upon us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you for it. Amen. 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 God bless you. Wayne and Carol, if you could make your way over here, please. And if you would like prayer, come over here and see Peter and Vrenna.